Thoughts on Haggai, Haggai chapter 2, verses 69. The New Covenant, the second look at it. I want to look at it again. I think it, I'm sure it deserves it. It needs it. You remember the point that Haggai is making here, that God is making through Haggai, that things may look very low and very weak now for Judah, and they are, in comparison with the glories of Solomon. But, says God, there's a time coming when I will bring in a new covenant, and the glory of that covenant will exceed even the glory of Solomon's. Now that's what the Jews have to keep in mind. My point is, I think the point we need to face here is, how will the glory of the new covenant exceed the glory of the old covenant? Let's be clear about it. The old glory, the old covenant, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the old covenant had its glory, oh yes, but it's got no glory now compared to the glory that is in Christ. But what glory did the old covenant have? Well, think of that temple under Solomon, even under the exile Jews, but under Solomon, the gold, the splendor of the place, the tradition, the history, the priests, the sacrifices, the robes, the singing, the incense. Think of it all. Even the tabernacle. Think of all the way God had led this people and the prophets coming to them and preaching. Oh, yes, the old covenant had its glory. But all of it was shadowy. Hebrews is express on this. Over and over again, the writer of the Hebrews is telling his readers, yes, the glory of the old covenant was wonderful. And of course, the new covenant looks so stark, so bare, so simple compared to it. I quite agree, he says. But the truth is, the reality is, and that's the word, the old covenant was just shadow, just picture, just illustration. But the new covenant is reality. We don't have shadowy picture priests. We have the real one priest. We don't have a shadowy sacrifice which pictures the redemption. We have the actual accomplishment of redemption by the blood and righteousness of Christ. Hebrews chapter 7 and 8, particularly 9, yes, but all through Hebrews. In Colossians 2, 16 and 17, the shadows have given way to the reality, to the fulfillment, to the truth. Yes, the old covenant had its glories, but it was the glory of man in a sense. Aaronic priesthood. Now we have the glory of Christ. The old covenant had its glory for the Jews, yes, but the new covenant goes out to all nations, Jews and Gentiles. There's a glory and there's a peace by Christ in the gospel that the old covenant knows nothing about except in shadow and picture form. There's life and power. You remember Jesus illustrates this with the parable of the wineskins. The old wineskins of the old covenant just cannot contain the new life of the Spirit in the new covenant. It has to be a new covenant, not the old one buffed up, not some new administration of the old covenant, as the Reformed want to say. No, no, no. It's a new covenant because it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit alive in his people. And who is doing this? Who's accomplishing this? Man? No. Read these verses again. I, the Lord Almighty, I will bring peace. I will do this. I bring glory. The Hebrews, do not, this is the writer of the Hebrews, says, don't despise the simplicity, the meekness, the lowliness of the gospel. This is its glory. The crowning gem is Christ in that simplicity, because the reality is in Christ. We don't need priests and robes and incense and temples and buildings and this and that and the other. We have Christ. And as Paul writes to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11, Christ is all and in all. The old covenant had its show, but the new covenant has the Spirit of the living God in all his power. The glory of the new covenant. Praise it be God. We have that covenant with us today. Unbeliever, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But the privilege of living in such a day as this, when Christ is preached in all his fullness, is beyond measure. Oh, that you would receive him and taste and see the glories of this covenant in Christ. Amen.